All right, go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. We'll be looking at the last three verses of the chapter, verses 13 through 15, Joshua chapter 6. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before the message tonight. Father, we come and thank you so much once again that we can be here in your house. Father, I pray you just work in every heart here tonight that they might be encouraged and challenged and changed through the word of God. Father, again, we pray if anybody's lost that tonight would be the night they put their faith in Jesus Christ and him alone for their salvation. Father, we just thank you now that we can have a church like this, a church that stands upon the word of God, that it's faithfully proclaimed each and every week. We pray you'd be with our pastor and watch over him as he's gone and bring you back safely. And we'll thank you for all that you do. If we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. There's going to come a time in everybody's life when, like Joshua, you're going to be confronted with the need to submit to the Lord. And usually that'll come at a time when you're facing a major decision, much like Joshua was here facing this major task or this major event in his life, when he'd be going over the Jordan to begin fighting the enemy that he would face. So here he was in our chapter. He's contemplating going over there. He's by himself looking over at the with his eyes. He's looking beyond over to the cities with his sword drawn in his hand. Or rather, he's standing there and he sees a man coming with a sword in his hand. But he's there. He's alone communing with God, planning his strategy. And lifting up his eyes, he saw this man coming with a sword drawn in his hand. Now, we know that that man was the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the host of the Lord. But it's interesting to compare the appearance of the Lord to Joshua and an early appearance that took place with Moses. You know, as the Lord appeared to Moses in a special way to prepare him for leadership, the Lord appears to Joshua in the same manner to him to realize that now, Joshua, it's a time for you to be taking a place of authority. We find when he went to Abraham, the pilgrim, the Lord appeared to him as a traveler. To Jacob, the schemer, he came as a wrestler to bring him to the place of submission. To Moses, the one who delivered God's people from the iron furnace, he appeared as a burning bush. But to Joshua here at the beginning of his battles, he appeared as a man of war. The Lord always suits his revelation of himself to the circumstances and to his needs, as you see him doing here with Joshua. So in this chapter, we first of all find that the people have now decided it's time to get prepared to go over to the promised land, and all the men who had not been circumcised during that 40 years in the wilderness now are circumcised, and they begin to prepare themselves to head over to the promised land. So all the men are prepared. They have now done what's necessary to get ready to go, and these men are now heading over to fight the fight that they've been waiting for 40 long years. So this being circumcised, it pictures death to self. The circumcision of the Old Testament was a picture of dying to the flesh to live unto God and be sure that now from this day on, you will be giving God your life. So we have to first of all die to self, and then and only then can we live unto God. So if you don't do that, if there's going to be a void in your life, if all you do is die to self and you do not live unto God, well, you've just gone half the way. You need to do the positive side and now live for God and do what God wants you to do. And so something has to take the place of death and of self, and that should be life and the Lord. So here we find Joshua submitting to the Lord, and in doing so, he pictures living unto God. This man is now going to show forth the living unto God as he goes into the promised land, begins to do the will of God, showing that now God is actively working in and through him to lead God's people to victory. So once Joshua submitted himself to God, he was guaranteed victory. So we see today that victory can be ours just as it was Joshua's, but we must do the same as he did, and that is submit ourselves to God. Therefore, I believe every Christian must submit completely to the Lord because, first of all, our conflict requires it. Look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? We find here Joshua now coming to look at the city over at Jericho and begin to look at what he was going to be dealing with here the next day. And he was there. He realized that this time was coming now that he had to prepare himself. So he was there by himself getting ready. But the sequence of events here is very kind of significant. We find first there's humble worship. Then there's a holy walk. Then there's heavenly warfare. So we find that Joshua worships. Joshua then has a holy walk that he's going to begin to take and begin to walk on and begin to walk. And then also that holy heavenly warfare was about to begin in his ministry there with the people of God. But you know, we find that it parallels the order which is found in the book of Ephesians, where we find that first of all, there was humble worship. Paul said in Ephesians 3:14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then there is the humble or the holy walk. He said, "Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And then the heavenly warfare. Then we're told to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So those are the steps we need to take, and we see Joshua taking those steps right here in our passage. But you see, Joshua was bowing the knee, submitting to a holy walk, and then went out to battle the Lord. But he needed to do those steps in order to be prepared to face what he was going to face in the next day or two, and then for the next many years as he went in and fought the enemies of the land. So now we find, though, that Joshua had already been told that he would defeat the enemy. He was given the promise of God in Joshua chapter 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." So he had been told already that the victory was his. And when it comes to you and me, God has already told us we're going to win. We're on the winning side. We have a battle that we've already won. We just have to fight it ourselves. But we know that God is going to give us the victory in the end, because that's been guaranteed by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. What he did for us guarantees that we will, in fact, be victorious in this life. So, you know, Joshua was being given his inheritance, saying, "Hey, this is your inheritance. This promised land is yours. It's yours for the taking. You just got to go over and take it and go ahead and do what I've told you to do and go in there and battle and face the enemy. But that inheritance, that land is yours. That city is yours. If you'll just go and face the enemy, I promise you victory." You know, it was us. We've also been given our inheritance. In Ephesians, it talks about the things that we've received in Christ, the blessings that we have. All spiritual blessings are ours. The inheritance is already promised to us. We know that one day we will receive an inheritance that is beyond our comprehension. It's promised to us. It's a promise in 1 Peter that all of us have an inheritance that's reserved in heaven, and we're just waiting for it. But you see, when we come to this point in our life, we have to realize that we are coming to a place now where we know the inheritance is ours, but there are battles to face. We're not going to get to the promised land without having some issues that we have to face. So we have to, first of all, as we find the children of Israel, dying to self. We have to die to self in order to then go battle the enemy. We can't expect to do anything ourselves until we've come to the realization we can't do it ourselves. So death to self is essential. You have to die to yourself and say, "You know what? I can't do it. I won't do it. Only if God does it through me, that's the only way it's going to be done." So they had death to self here in our chapter, but also we need to have a death to ourselves if we're going to have any victory against the enemy that we face. So here now, Joshua had died to self, facing this battle. But you see, he didn't rush out to battle. He didn't just go ahead and get the children of Israel together. So let's go. We're going to go across the river today, and we're going to start facing the enemy. No, that's not what he did. He took time to submit to the Lord. Before you rush out and start doing something, you need to be totally surrendered to the will of God. If you're not totally surrendered to him, you're not ready for the battle. You're not ready to face anybody or anything in your life, because you must be totally surrendered to him if you're going to do anything for the Lord. And I want to just read this to kind of get started. It kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of what we need to be committed to. Joshua himself was committed to being a soldier. We need to be the same as he was. "I am a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me in Sunday school to teach the children, work with youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can count on me because I am there. If he needs me in Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, revival or special service, I am there. I'm there to preach, teach, sing, work, or worship. God can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still break even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Government cannot silence me, and hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battle, he will promote me to be a captain and then bring me back to rule this world with him. I am a soldier in the army, and I am marching claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Now that is the kind of soldier we ought to be. Amen? That's the kind of soldier I want to be. And I believe all of us can be if we'll submit ourselves to God like we should. So Joshua, I believe Joshua could have said those very things I just read just now. He could have stood before the Lord and said, Lord, I am a soldier. I am going over to fight. I am prepared for battle. I have myself. I've made up my mind. There's nothing that's going to turn me around. I know that I must submit to you because the conflict requires submission. If I'm going to go out there and win, I have to make sure that I am submitted to your will, ready to do what you want me to do. And so, listen, you may think that you have the experience to win the conflict. You know, I can depend upon my experience. I've done preaching for years. I mean, when I was a pastor for all those years and I got, preaching here as a pulpit supply and all the ministry of Ebenezer Ministries, I can depend upon myself. I mean, I can do it. I've practiced enough. I've done it enough. It can become routine. It can become something I can just do because I've done it. But we got to be careful that we don't get to that place where we say, well, I have enough experience. I can do this myself. Never get to the place where you think you can do it yourself because you can't. Amen. Joshua couldn't do it himself. Neither can you and me. We cannot succeed in this Christian life if we expect to do it ourselves. We have to give ourselves completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when that day comes, when you have done that, you will find that you are now prepared to face the enemies that you're going to face. We don't face physical enemies in this world. We face spiritual ones, and they're fierce. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we must submit ourselves completely to the Lord because the conflict requires it. We cannot expect to win anything or do anything unless we do. It says in James, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So notice, submission to God, first of all. Submitting yourself completely to him. And then it says, resist the devil. If you haven't submitted yourselves to the Lord, you can't expect to resist the devil and have him flee from you. You will be eaten alive by the devil instead. So you must decide where you stand and what you're going to do if you're going to serve God. It must be a wholehearted commitment. God doesn't need half-hearted believers. He needs wholehearted ones. He needs us to be wholehearted for him so he can use us in this conflict that we're in. But we must submit completely to the Lord because our conflict requires it, but also because our Lord demands it. Look at chapter 6, verse 13. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Who art thou? Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. In other words, Joshua was pretty much asking, Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? You're coming to me tonight or at this time. Who are you and who are you fighting for? Whose side are you on? I mean, you can't really blame Joshua. He wants to know, who is this individual? Is he going to be for me or against me? I need to know what's going on because I need to make sure that I am going with a man who's on my side. Otherwise, I don't want to go. He is not a man who was going to compromise, and he was going to say either the Lord's for me or against me, and I need to know which side you're on because I am taking the side of the Lord, and if you're not, whoever you are, he didn't know at that point in time who it was, but he said, if you're not on the right side, I want you to know I'm not going to be for you. I'm going to be against you because that's the way God has always taught his people to stand for him and him alone. You're always either for the Lord or against him. You can't be in the middle and ride the fence. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So the idea of being neutral in the battle, you cannot be neutral. You have to take a side. You cannot say, well, I'm just going to stay right down the middle, and I'm not going to worry about which side I'm on. I'm going to take it easy and just let things coast. You have to decide tonight, whose side are you on? Are you going to take the battle up with the Lord? Are you going to take the battle up and try to just go ahead and do it yourself and let others run the show? Or are you going to go ahead and say, I am committed to Christ. I'm going to do it under his leadership. I'm going to do what he demands. Because that's all that really matters. If anybody else tells you what to do, it really doesn't matter. What really matters is what God tells you to do. He's the one you listen to. You don't listen to anyone else but the Lord himself, what he tells you to do, because our Lord demands that we serve him, that we fight for him and with him. So as we find this man, it says, was the captain of the host of the Lord. This was Jesus Christ himself coming to Joshua to let him know that I am here to lead you over. I'm here to take you into battle. And this title here given to him as the captain of the host of the Lord, it's a battle title that the Lord uses as a way of saying, I am the supreme leader, I am in charge, I am over you. So in effect, the Lord was saying to Joshua, I've not come here to take sides. I've come to take over. And when you say, Lord, whose side are you on? He says to you, I'm not taking sides. I am coming to take over your life. I'm not looking for you to do what you want. I'm saying you will do what I want. Are you willing to say, Lord, take over my life? Are you willing to let him take over? He's demanding that of us. He says, I am taking over. When we get to that place where we say, yes, Lord, I don't mind that. As a matter of fact, I'm totally submitted to that. I want to be completely sold out to you. Then you're on the right side, and God can start to do something with your life. Until then, you cannot do a thing that's going to please God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without submission to God, you can certainly not be a person that God can possibly use in the army that he has he wants us to be in. God's not going to take the place of a private in your life. He's not going to take the place of some peon. He's going to be the commander-in-chief. And if he's not, then you're not going to succeed. You're not going to be able to defeat the enemy. It's not until you take the right place that God is going to be able to place you where he wants you and to help you do and get you to do what he needs you to do. So you don't make your own plans in your life. You don't hope the Lord will be on your side. You see, the problem is that Jericho was a place that Joshua was going to be fighting against. But, you know, he had to realize, that's not my problem. That's not my problem anymore. That's God's problem to defeat that enemy. And the same thing is true in our life. We give it over to God. We say, Lord, take over my life. And however you want to use me, whatever you want to do with me, I'm here to tell you that, Lord, the battle is not mine. It's yours. I'm going to depend on you to take me through life and defeat the enemy that I must face. You see, we are facing a foe that many times we don't even think about. Many times as we read the Bible and we read about the devil, we kind of just dismiss it and say, well, we're against the world and the flesh, but, oh, the devil, he's just a little person out there with a, you know, he can't really do much. He's a defeated enemy. He's been defeated at the cross of Calvary. That's not the case. He's still alive and well on planet Earth. He's still alive, and he can do things to us that we can't even imagine. When you see things going on in your life for good, I guarantee you the devil is going to show up to stop you. The devil never quits. The devil never gets tired. And when you begin to go for the Lord and begin to work for God, you can expect the devil to show up at your doorstep, and he'll be there to stop you any way that he can. He'll use your family. He'll use your friends. He'll use your coworkers. He'll use your circumstances, your situation. He'll use whatever he can to get under your skin, to get a hold of you, to turn you every which way but loose, to get you out of the battle, because he does not want you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to be defeated, to be brought down to him, and to commit to give up on the Lord. As we just read about that soldier, we need to make sure we are not going to give in. We're never going to give up. We're going to stay true to God and to what he's told us to do. So Joshua is getting ready. And he had the promise of God. He had the power of God, and he had the the power of God to take him and do what he needed to do, the power of the presence and the promises of God. You know, we have the same thing. We have the presence of God to go with us. We've been promised that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. We can expect God to be with us. He's with us at all times. We need to depend on him. But also the promise of God is with us. No matter what we do, we can depend upon the promises of God to carry us through. You know, many times in my life, I've gotten to a place where I just didn't know what to do, and I had to just simply cling to God's promise. There was times when Lori and me, we were in situations, we didn't know how to handle it. We didn't know what we were going to do. I mean, there was times we were just to the point where we said, okay, Lord, if you don't come through, we've got nothing we can do. We're at a point where we have to just say, Lord, I give up, do it for us. And we've seen the Lord come through, answer his take care of his promises. Always God is true. God is faithful. He'll always make sure that he fulfills the promises that he's made. You know, there's been times when I think about it, times when we were to the place we didn't know where we were going to get our next meal, so to speak. We're at that place. You know what? God said, I will never leave the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Bible promises us I will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He tells us again and again that he will meet our needs. He's there to take care of us, to provide for us. His promises are there. As we want to go on in our life, we have the promises to carry us through. We have the power of God, through the Spirit of God, to do the will of God. So we must depend upon him because our instructions. Not only because because the Lord demands it. He demands submission to him. And once we do, once we take that place of a servant, then he can begin to use us. So it's when you do that, when you give over your life to the Lord, that's when you're going to find your life really, really becomes meaningful. That's when your life will really become that life of joy, that life of peace, that life of victory. When you give over to God, you're going to find it's the best thing, the best decision you ever made. And if you don't make that decision tonight, then do it as soon as possible, because the time is going to come when you're going to need to be submitted to him, because that day will come when you're going to need God to be on your side. And if you haven't submitted to him, then I'm telling you, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to wish that day had come when you had gone ahead and placed your confidence in him, that you had submitted to him totally, because it's then that God can really begin to use you. And you'll find that when you do that, the joy of God will fill your soul. You'll have a whole different perspective on life. You'll see things through a whole different lens. Everything will begin to change around you because you have decided to live for God. I'm telling you, there is no way that I could have done what I've done in my past if I hadn't submitted to God's will. When I submitted to God to go to Bible college, that was a major decision in our lives that we made. And I couldn't have done that without God's help. We went down to school. We drove up to the place. And as we drove up in our U-Haul, we went into the main office there at the college. And I said, yeah, I'm here to go to school. And she goes, okay. I said, yeah, I'm here. And I called you to talk to you about coming. And you said you'd help me get a job and help me find a place to live. She goes, what, you mean the first day? I said, well, yeah, you told me you'd help me find a job, right? You told me you'd help me to find a house. I'm assuming they're going to do what they said, right? They're going to fulfill the promise. But she looked at me like I had two heads. And I think, wait a minute, what did I just do? I came into a place that now they're telling me they're not going to do it for me? But I had prayed for God to help me find a place to live on day one and to find a job within the first week. You're saying, well, can God do that? Well, I'll tell you this. I went out and began to look for a place to live. As we woke up, this man showed up, and he said, hey, he goes, you're just starting school here? I said, yeah, we're just getting started. He goes, hey, what's going on? I said, well, I need somebody to help me look around and find a place to live. He goes, okay, come with me. So he took us out. My wife and I began to go out with him. He began to look at all these properties, all these different rentals. And sure enough, by the end of that day, we had secured a place to live. Day one. My prayer was day one we'd find a place to live. We had to find a place to live. I mean, we had our U-Haul. That's all we had. And we're living in the school's profits chamber. So we got a place to live. I prayed for a job the first week. Well, guess what? I landed a job by the end of that week. I don't know how the Lord worked it out, but he did. He took care of us. But, you know, it took submission to God for God to do that. You know, then we were hard up financially. I was making $4.75 an hour. I mean, I was making it big time. $4.25 an hour. And, I mean, we were rolling in the dough. And we had a house, a rental, I think it was $350 a month. How much? $750. She's my record keeper, okay? $750 a month. I'm making $425 an hour, okay? How is God going to do this? We had no clue. I'd go out to the mailbox. I'd pull out some mail. There'd be a check in there for $700. Then I'd go out and get another one, $800. I mean, where was this coming from? God was doing it. God was supplying our need, and I didn't even know what to expect. I got to the place I couldn't wait to go out to the mailbox. Have you run out there? What's in here? See. Oh, well, only a bill. Okay. I'll pay that later. Let me wait for that money to come. But then I got into school and started going there to school. And I know that there was one time when the president of the school got up and he held this list. He dropped it down all the way down to the ground. The following students on the list have not paid their school bill. If you do not pay your school bill by the end of the week, you will be out of school. I'm sitting there in the chapel and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm on that list. My name's up there and I don't know what I'm going to do. If you don't pay the bill, I'm out of school. I only need $200, Lord. I mean, I need it, but if I don't get it, then I can't keep going. Well, I'm saying, Lord, give me $200, $200. I'm sitting in my seat thinking, how's this going to happen? I mean, I don't know. How's this money going to come? I didn't know what to think. But I went out to the car. The Lord's always good at, you know, kind of keeping little secrets and kind of, you know, I don't know how she does it. She's just like, here. She just hands me this little envelope real quiet. And you're like, oh, let me take a look at this. I'm like, what is it? Opened it up, pull out a check. Guess how much it was for? $200. $200. I could not believe, well, I should say I could believe it, but I couldn't hardly believe it. It's like, wow, once again, God had taken care of our needs. I remember then I'd go to my school mailbox. I had to pay my school bill, and I'd go up to pay it, and I had the man who was taking up the payments, goes, it's already paid. I said, I haven't paid it yet. What are you talking about? He goes, it's already been paid. I said, well, who paid it? Well, he wouldn't tell me. I'm like, okay. I guess God paid it because I didn't pay it. So I was happy with that. I'm like, fine, if somebody wants to pay my school bill, go right ahead. And if you want to pay my bills now, let me know. I'll be happy to let you do it. I've got plenty of them. But when we started our church in Illinois, I tell you what, we saw the Lord do mighty things there too. We decided that we would be looking for a storefront to meet in. So we had no clue what we were going to do. But I started to look around. I found this one storefront. And the man who... rented out the properties there in the storefront was a Jewish man. So I called him up, set up an appointment to go see him. And I said, Lord, I pray that you'd help me now to get this rent. I think I prayed for $500 a month, that God would help me to find this place for $500 a month. Now, this seemed impossible. Rentals ran over for like $1,500 a month. But I sat down with him in the Dunkin' Donuts there, and we began to talk about it. And he goes, well, how does $500 a month sound to you? That sounds pretty good to me. I'll take it for $500 a month. He goes, how about the first month rent for free? And I thought, wow, Lord, why didn't I pray for 6 months for free? But I say, I'll take that too. So we went ahead and signed the lease. And I said, well, I don't know how I'm going to pay this, Lord, every month, but I'm just going to start knocking on doors and see what God does. And so we started off with a small little group of people, and we began to just go out there and began to witness and knock on doors, and God began to do things. But I'll tell you what, the devil fought tooth and toenail. He doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to go through all those things in life and completely succeed with no difficulties. God wants to. I mean, the devil wants to make sure you do fail. He's going to do what he can to get you to fail, but you need to submit yourself to him. Then and only then can God begin to do what he wants to do with your life. But also, not only do we and must we submit ourselves completely to God because the conflict requires it. Because our Lord demands it, but last of all, because our instructions encourage it. Joshua said to the captain of the Lord's host, he fell down and said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? What saith my Lord unto his servant? He was needing some instructions to encourage him. Because what do you say to me? What are you saying to your servant? I need some encouragement here. So Joshua is letting the Lord know, I'm inferior, and I'm asking you for orders. I'm letting you know I'm submitting to you. What wilt thou have me to do, so to speak? So Joshua is saying, look, I don't know what to do except you tell me what to do. What saith my Lord unto his servant? What is it, Lord, that you want me to do? And you see, the person who is ready to obey, or the one who knows how to command, the one who is best to know how to command is one who knows how to obey. In other words, if you can take rules and regulations and take somebody's take somebody's advice, you're going to be more ability to obey. Now, forgive me for my loss of words. I have reached 65 years old, and I'm on Medicare. So if I feel like I'm, if you think, wow, what's going on here? Also, I'm on medication that makes me forget words, okay? So if I don't have a word, please tell me what that word is, okay? I won't mind at all, trust me. Now, let me go back to say what I was trying to say. Those who know best how to command are those who also know how to obey. So if you're willing to take commands and willing to follow, then you'll be able to be the kind of person who's going to follow through and obey people. If you don't know how to obey, you're not going to be able to lead anybody. God has to tell you, look, here's what I want you to do. If you say, God, I don't want to do it, well, you're not going to be able to lead anybody. You have to learn to take the orders from God. Then you'll be able to go out and do what God wants you to do and help others follow him. But you have to, first of all, obey him. And then you can start leading others. But here, the Lord has not come now to come and direct the battle. And Joshua just say, okay, I'm just going to, do what I can. The Lord came to direct the battle. Joshua was not there to do it himself. He was simply submitting to God's leadership, saying, what do you want me to do? So, in other words, the step to victory is to recognize that you are the servant. That's all there is to it. You bow down to him and say, what do you want me to do? What saith my Lord unto his servant? Jesus told us that without me, you can do nothing. If you're going to serve him, you're going to find that you can't do it yourself, and you have to realize you can do nothing without him. Throughout my ministry, I've come to realize that I could do nothing. I couldn't build the church. I couldn't do what I needed to do without God. I mean, there was nothing I could do to make things happen. God had to make it happen. I had to depend upon him. But I found the more that I would go out and do what God wanted me to do and take the steps, then God would bring me the victory. I'd go out and I'd knock on doors until my knuckles bled. And I'd just keep on going at it day after day. I'd pack my lunch and I'd get out and I'd start knocking on doors. I'd eat my lunch while I'm out there in the neighborhoods, and I'd just go door to door to door. I'd meet a person who was a Buddhist, a person who was an atheist, a person who was Vietnamese, and I don't know what religion they were. And there was Buddhists and there was Catholics and there were Protestants, and I just witnessed every last one of them as best I knew how. I said, I don't know what a Buddhist believes, but I just started to give them the gospel. I don't know what a Vietnamese believes. I'll just tell them the gospel. So I was out there witnessing these people and doing my best. But, you know, I was just trying to do what God wanted me to do. I said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? He said, go out there and start knocking on doors. I said, okay, Lord. I'll go out and start knocking on doors. What else do you want me to do? Oh, I want you to do this and do that. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And so his instructions that he gave to me encouraged me. He said, here's what you need to do. You know, the thing is, when you start doing things, all of a sudden, you see God just start bringing people in. That's happening here. You notice that? All we do is we go out and knock on doors. We hand out stuff. We don't know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, we got visitors coming. It's not the person you invited. It's just someone else who shows up. People are coming to the church and saying, yeah, I saw it on the internet. Oh, yeah, I went by and I saw the sign. Oh, yeah, somebody called me up and told me it's a good church. Why don't you try it out? I mean, all these different things. And we never visited any of those people. But all of a sudden, here they come. A person got saved this morning. People are just coming. I believe this is like an oasis in the desert. I really do. I think Grace of Calvary is like a soul-saving station. I think they're being drawn here because the Lord knows this is where they'll hear the gospel. This is the place they can come if they want to be saved. And so God is drawing these people in. I tell you, we need to keep praying that God will do that. I pray all the time that God will bring visitors, that God will continue to save people, that God will bring these people in. They'll get baptized, join the church, and get excited, start serving God here. I tell you what, we're seeing that happen, aren't we? But now because that's happening, you know what? The devil's fighting too. So you may see things going on in church, but listen, don't get discouraged by it. Realize that the devil is going to fight. He's going to kick. He's going to scream because he doesn't want us to have the victory here. But keep on trusting God. Keep on doing what God wants you to do. Keep on knocking those doors. Keep on passing out those gospel tracts. Keep on talking to people whenever the Lord opens up a door to you. So when you do that, you're going to be doing what God wants. God's going to bless your life. So we find that Joshua was told, just like Moses, to take his shoes off. He was on holy ground. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. God was telling him, listen, you're on holy ground. When you start to serve God, you are on holy ground. God is going to use you. When you're holy, when you're committed to God, God can then begin to do something with you. So you are going to be standing on holy ground if you're going to obey God and do what he wants. There's no such thing as secular and sacred. Everything in your life is going to be sacred. Everything in your life, it doesn't matter if you're washing your car, if you're preaching in the pulpit, you're teaching a Sunday school class, or you're out there mowing the grass. Everything is sacred to you. God will bless everything you do. Everything you do matters to God. So don't give up and say, well, I'm not doing anything for God. If you're mowing your grass, that's what God wants you to do. Then you're mowing your grass. You're doing it in God's will. See, right now, you know what? You're in the will of God. You know why? Because God wants you in church. So you're here in church. You're doing the will of God right now. So you are being obedient to God, showing God that you're submitted to him to be here on a Sunday night service. You didn't have to come, especially if you knew I was preaching. But you came anyway, so I'm glad you did. But listen, you have to realize, when you serve God, it's holy ground that you're working at, you're standing on to serve him. And if we're going to heed his instructions, then we're going to find also that we'll worship and revere the Lord like we should. Notice it says, Joshua did so. Joshua didn't complain. He didn't argue with God. He said, take off your shoes, and Joshua did so. When God tells you to do something, do it. When he gives you the instructions, then simply do what God wants. And you'll find that when you submit to him and heed the instructions God gives, and you'll receive that assurance from God that you will win. You will go through life and be successful for the glory of God. So every Christian must submit completely to the Lord. First of all, because our conflict requires it, because our Lord demands it, because our instructions encourage it. Let me tell you, though, quickly how. Very quickly, how can we submit? Well, first of all, by refusing to compromise. Joshua refused to compromise. There's no neutral ground with Joshua. He said, it's either Lord, you're Lord of all, or you're not Lord at all. So I'm saying, I am giving myself totally to you. I am not going to compromise. So don't give in for any reason. Be like that soldier I read about at the beginning. Secondly, here's how you can submit completely, by worshiping the Lord. Worship is essential. If you're going to serve God, you need to worship God. And lastly, by requesting marching orders. Joshua said, Lord, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And Paul the apostle said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Same question needs to be asked of us to the Lord. Say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And be sure that you go ahead and you do it. So the simple question is this. Are you willing to ask that question to God today? Let's pray. Father, we come to you now tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way in the service. Father, we pray now tonight, if there's anybody here that's lost, the Lord would be the night that they would realize they're lost without hope, without God, and they put their faith in him alone. So Lord, we pray now that as we give the invitation, that, Father, you would just work in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, that we would submit ourselves as needed. If there's anybody here that needs to commit themselves completely to the Lord, may that tonight be the night that they do so. We'll ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll stand. We'll begin the invitation. And if you're not sure you have eternal life, now's the time to make sure you do. You can come and we'll have somebody show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you have eternal life. If you're as a believer and you say, it's time for me to commit myself, I've never really submitted myself totally to the Lord, maybe the time's to do that time. Go ahead and make sure that the Lord knows you are solely committed to him and him alone for what he wants you to do. Brother Mark, if you'll come and lead us in an invitation to him.
Turn to 578, just as I am.